after a time. So it would seem.
You know its use and its purpose?
Of course.
Why then will you do nothing at all?
I have no need to move or to act. All things come to me. If anything is to be done, it is you who will do it.
I do not understand.
I know that too. The man stared into the shadows overhead.
I will attempt to eat now, he announced.
Tathagatha gave him broth and bread, which he managed to keep down. Then he drank more water, and when he had finished he was breathing heavily.
You have offended heaven,
he stated. Of that I am aware.
And you have detracted from the glory of a goddess, whose supremacy here has always been undisputed.
I know.
But I owe you my life, and I have eaten your bread.
There was no reply.
Because of this, I must break a most holy vow,
finished Ryld.
I cannot kill you, Tathagatha.
Then I owe my life to the fact that you owe me yours. Let us consider the life-owing balanced.
Ryld uttered a short chuckle. So be it,
he said. What will you do, now that you have abandoned your mission?
I do not know. My sin is too great to permit me to return. Now I, too, have offended against heaven, and the goddess will turn away her face from my prayers. I have failed her.
Such being the case, remain here. You will at least have company in damnation.
Very well, agreed Ryld. There is nothing else left to me.
He slept once again, and the Buddha smiled. In the days that followed, as the festival wore on, the Enlightened One preached to the crowds who passed through the Purple Grove. He spoke of the unity of all things, great and small, of the law of cause, of becoming and dying, of the illusion of the world, of the spark of the Atman, of the way of salvation through renunciation of the self and union with the whole. He spoke of realization and enlightenment, of the meaninglessness of the Brahmins' rituals, comparing their forms to vessels empty of content. Many listened, a few heard, and some remained in the Purple Grove to take up the saffron robe of the seeker. And each time he taught, the man Ryld sat nearby, wearing his black garments and leather harness, his strange dark eyes ever upon the Enlightened One. 2 weeks after his recovery, Ryld came upon the teacher as he walked through the grove in meditation. He fell into step beside him, and after a time, he spoke.
Enlightened One, I have listened to your teachings, and I have listened well. Much have I thought upon your words.
The other nodded.
I have always been a religious man, he stated, or I would not have been selected for the post I once occupied. After it became impossible for me to fulfill my mission, I felt a great emptiness. I had failed my goddess, and life was without meaning for me.
The other listened, silently.
But I have heard your words, he said, and they have filled me with a kind of joy. They have shown me another way to salvation, a way which I feel to be superior to the one I previously followed.
The Buddha studied his face as he spoke.
Your way of renunciation is a strict one, which I feel to be good. It suits my needs. Therefore I request permission to be taken into your community of seekers and to follow your path.
Are you certain, asked the Enlightened One, that you do not seek merely to punish yourself for what has been weighing upon your conscience as a failure or a sin?
Of that I am certain, said Ryld. I have held your words within me and felt the truth which they contain. In the service of the goddess have I slain more men than purple fronds upon yonder bough. I am not even counting women and children, so I am not easily taken in by words, having heard too many. voiced in all tones of speech, words pleading, arguing, cursing. But your words move me, and they are superior to the teachings of the Brahmins. Gladly would I become your executioner, dispatching for you your enemies with a saffron cord, or with a blade or pike, or with my hands, for I am proficient with all weapons, having spent 3 lifetimes learning their use. But I know that such is not your way. Death and life are as one to you, and you do not seek the destruction of your enemies. So I request entrance to your order. For me, it is not so difficult a thing as it would be for another. One must renounce home and family, origin and property. I lack these things. One must renounce one's own will, which I have already done. All I need now is the yellow robe. It is yours, said Tathagatha, with my blessing. Ryald donned the robe of a Buddhist monk and took to fasting and meditating. After a week, when the festival was near to its close, he departed into the town with his begging bowl, in the company of the other monks. He did not return with them, however. The day wore on into evening, the evening into darkness. The horns of the temple had already sounded the last notes of the Nagaswaram, and many of the travelers had since departed the festival. For a long while, the enlightened one walked the woods, meditating. Then he too vanished. Down from the grove, with the marshes at its back, toward the town of Allendale, above which lurked the hills of rock and around which lay the blue-green fields, into the town of Allendale, still astir with travelers, many of them at the height of their revelry, up the streets of Allendale, toward the hill with its temple, walked the Buddha. He entered the first courtyard, and it was quiet there. The dogs and children and beggars had gone away. The priests slept. One drowsing attendant sat behind a bench at the bazaar. Many of the shrines were now empty.